We worship you, Father. We exalt the name of Jesus as we can. Father, we pray to you and seek your face in decisions. We trust you. Father, we know that you're faithful. Church, our family here, what they mean to each other, to me. I praise you, Father, for what you do at Hillcrest Baptist Church, the moving of the Spirit, the leading that you give us. Father, I think about the Family Life Center, and Lord, you've opened up every door we've gone through, and thank you so much for that. Father, we continue to pray for open doors or closed doors. Thank you for the privilege, Father, of serving you. I pray, Lord, that this coming year, even though it's not normal, that we would remember who we serve. And God, you've called us to be disciples and servants, fully committed to you, surrendered in our hearts to you. You called our church to preach the Word of God. As we seek guidance about Sunday school, and later on, try to work back in a normal schedule. Father, help us to make the right decision. Protect us, Lord, I pray, from this COVID and the fear coming up and the disasters and the riots and all that. I pray, Lord, I thank you for the peace and calm that's right here in Clarksville right now. Our leadership, Lord, how they've guided us to this point. We thank you, Lord. I lift up Jane to you, Father, that you would continue to heal her respiratory problems, give her strength, and Father, that she'd be able to eat, recuperate, and get well. We pray for Doyle Price. Family. I ask, Lord, that you would give them comfort come Friday. And thank you, Lord, that we have the privilege to pray for him. I pray, Father, for Lois and her mom and her sister and brother. Lord, that you would give them great comfort and victory as well. No more dad's at. But we pray for mom and Lord that she would find a home to move into and one that she will like. Her needs. Pray for Sherry Butler and others in Gulf Shores and Pensacola and other counties and states that this hurricane is affecting. Lord, it's overwhelming to see what they're going through. Pray for those in California and out west where they're dealing with terrible fires. The riots and the disastrous ways that people are acting. God, we lift up our country to you. We need help. We need you to touch our hearts. Convict us of sin, Lord. Convict us of being disobedient to you. Teach us once again, Father, to keep the Word of God, be obedient to it, to follow your leadership. We pray, Father, for Sean Collins and tested positive, Father, we pray for recovery for them. We pray for Noah's mom and Noah as she relapses into cancer. Father, we pray for Sarah. She's going through through this knee re-replacement and temporary knee, loss of blood. Father, we lift her up to you that you keep her encouraged, keep away the infection so that she can receive her knee replacement soon. We pray for Kenneth's supervisor, sister-in-law. And Father, I pray that you protect her from the thoughts of committing suicide. We do pray for lost. Maybe, Father, something spectacular will come out of all these things we've been praying about. Father, that people will turn to you for help. Maybe something never even thought about praying and start praying tonight. Pray for Bobby's brother-in-law and sister as they recover from the COVID-19. Father, give them healing. Pray for Brenda. Lord, ask that that test would prove that she was just lacking copper and would not be a leukemia. Pray for Mike Wood, Father, that you would help him to recover from some of his illnesses. Watch over the blood pressure, especially and some of the issues he has with his thinking of things. Lord, just lift them up to you. Father, we pray for us. We pray, God, for our church. We pray for our leaders. We pray for decisions that are to be made. We pray, Father, for the music minister. We pray, Lord, for pianists. We pray, Father, for just help for our church. We sure love you. Thank you, God, for the privilege of Wednesday nights. Father, I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
While I'm thinking about it, Sunday I'm going to be in Psalm 120. There's 15 Psalms, 120 through 134. I'll have them do it. They're called Psalms of Ascent. But we're going to look at several of those and study some of them. John chapter 10 tonight. When I get overwhelmed with stuff to the point of thinking I'm even going to get a little bit depressed, I go to John chapter 10. When I look at the Good Shepherd, you can't help but get excited when you talk about the Good Shepherd. John chapter 10, verses 7 through 10. I want us to hear, I'm in Luke chapter 10, one of the ten more right. I want us to hear the abundant life. John chapter 10, verse 7, 8, 9, and 10. Then Jesus said to them again, "Most surely I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep do not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." I want us to think about that more abundant life. Verse 7, Jesus claims that he is the door. He says, "I am the door of the sheep." And if you were a shepherd way back then, at nighttime, you'd be finding some place where they could go spend the night, and hopefully you would find a crevice in some wall that would open up into a pasture, and there'd be a three-sided crevice inside the mountain somewhere. You'd get those sheep inside, and you'd become the door. You won't let them in or out. You won't let the wolves in and out. That's what Jesus is talking to the people that knew about that kind of stuff back then. So he is the door. So I want you to think about you being in a three-sided cavern somewhere, surrounded by a sheer rock wall, and nobody could get to you from those three sides. The only way they could get to you is from the front. Jesus is guarding you there. And then look at verse 8. "All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them." Jesus is making a distinction here between himself and everyone else. Now, there's a choice that has to be made. But anybody other than Jesus, what's he calling in verse 8? Robbers and thieves. So remember, we're in that enclosed area. Jesus has us guarded. He knows that he's the door. He knows that he's the good shepherd, and everybody else is trying to steal from us, to rob us. We'll get to that in a second, what I think they rob, how they rob us. But look at verse 9. We need to really understand this. Jesus says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he'll be saved. He'll go in and out and into the pasture. Jesus is the door of eternal life, of your salvation. So you're surrounded anyways, not just three ways, but you're surrounded by Christ the whole time you're saved. Jesus is one door, one salvation, one way in and out. Anything else is wrong. Huge point that distinguishes our church from a gazillion other churches, because a lot of churches preach there's other doors available to get to heaven. Well, there's not. There's one door, that's Christ. Jesus can make the sheep or the sinner acceptable to God. And we're talking about abundant life. I haven't got to that yet, but realize that Jesus says, I am the door, there is no other, and a thief will come to steal from you and rob from you. I'm offering you what? Eternal life. More than that, abundant life. And when you have that abundant life, we'll get to that now. Look at verse 10. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, they may have it more abundantly. But let's look at that thief first. Why does he come, according to these verses? Why does Satan come? Why does the thief, anybody, false teacher, come into our life? To destroy us. He comes, the Bible says, to kill us, to destroy us, to steal from us. So here's a few things I wrote down that he will come. He will kill your joy. To a believer, if you're not careful, that thief, that robber will come in and steal every bit of your joy. Not your salvation, but he'll steal your joy. How many people do you know that are Christians that do not live in peace? The thief has come in and robbed so many Christian families of peace. And we've allowed that to happen. We've allowed the thief, the robbers, to come into our homes. The gadgets we do, you know, the stuff we do to take our focus off of the Lord. He'll steal your blessings by leading you away from Jesus. So you're being attacked by a thief, a robber, a murderer. And first thing we want to do is fix it. We get focused off of the Lord. So we go to the Lord as this thief comes. He'll destroy the abundant life that Jesus is offering. Not salvation, but the peace and the joy and the love of the Lord. Spirit, he'll try to steal all that from you. So look at the door, the good shepherd. He comes to protect you from the thief, from the robber, from the murderer. He comes, according to this verse, he comes to give you life, and to give you life more abundant. So I'm thinking, I don't know how often you think about this life abundant, but it doesn't just start when you get to heaven. Starts at the very moment you get saved.
Amen.
So as soon as you get saved, you're given life, but not just life. You're given life here on earth, but that abundant life goes on to eternity as well. So you can enjoy your salvation here on earth, the abundant life here on earth. So if you know that you can enjoy the abundant life that Jesus gives you at your new birth, who do you think that's going to attract? Thief, the robber, the murderer. So you need to be careful. How do we know that Jesus gives us abundant life? Well, all of us know what John 3:16 is, don't we? And that's the key verse when you're talking to people. They need to understand that Jesus died on the cross for us, that God sent Jesus so that we can experience eternal life. It isn't guaranteed.
After I was saved, from not speaking God's words and understanding
This is our sheepfold right here.
I was late, but if you're not getting it behind that, it's active, you just don't. Now, I can start reading scripture, not sometime in the morning, I can start reading. And I may read four, five chapters, quite quick reading, but I just.
That's what the Bible's for. That is our cavern, that is our protection, that is Jesus Christ. So here's some things about abundant life. I realize it's for now and eternity. A flourishing life in Christ. That's what Jesus makes available for us. He's entrusted us with spiritual gifts to serve Him, which makes our life just spread like a mushroom. A life that exceeds your imagination or your expectations. How many of you can remember back then when you weren't walking with the Lord? Bobby, we all got the same testimony here. Most of us do. But once we get in that sheepfold, we go in and out as Christ is the door. It sure is up here. You cannot imagine ever going back to the old, can you? It's a life of spiritual energy. Remember Caleb, what he said when he was 85 years old? I'm strong now as I was when I was 40. That spiritual energy, that comes from Jesus Christ. Now here's one that, when I'm thinking of abundant life, it's a life of satisfaction. Are you satisfied? You know, everything's available. All we gotta do is go to the bank and borrow the money, or put it on a piece of plastic. But satisfaction and contentment, that's what comes with abundant life. A life of assurance, security, and enjoyment. I can't tell you how many times I've talked to people that think that you can lose your salvation. I don't doubt their salvation. I just know that they haven't been convinced that God saves you once and for all. So I try to share with them the good of abundant life that He offers.
We're good to debate. Take away the bait. See Jesus.
That's right. Well, we fight that all the time. It starts from bad doctrine sometimes, yeah. Okay, let me go 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. A life of love, a life of joy, a life of peace, a life of responsibility. All these put together makes a life that flourishes in the Lord Jesus Christ. All because He says, I am the door, I am the good shepherd. I give you life, I give you life abundant. Isn't that a good thought? Life abundant. And it's available for all of us. I want to give you an example between the abundant life for eternity or a life that over time this man was robbed and destroyed. It's over in Luke chapter 18. Every one of you have heard this story. I don't know how many times, but it's just a really good example of either living an abundant life or no life at all. And it's all because of a choice. Luke 18, verses 18 through 23. Now a certain ruler asked Jesus, saying, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Right then, a choice is going to have to be made. He's asking Jesus, what do I have to do? Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, the one that is, and that's God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother. And he said, all these things I've done and kept from my youth. So he lived a pretty good life. So when Jesus heard these things, he said, you shall lack one thing. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come and follow me. What did the rich young ruler do? According to Scripture, he became sorrowful. And he turned Jesus down. Now compare that to accepting Jesus in his life for the abundant life. It has really nothing to do with the amount of money that we can accumulate. It's what choice we're going to make. We're going to take Jesus or the money. Door number one, door number two, door number three. Choices.
You know, when you take Jesus, think about
factory got saved. You can go throughout the Bible and look at all the people make poor choices, rejected the Lord Jesus. And they rejected what we've been talking about, the abundant life. It ought to be enough to make us walk if we weren't saved, get saved tonight. I don't know about you, but the abundant life. Jesus, for being our Savior, our protector, protecting us from the thief, the robber, the murderer, the false witness. Father, thank you for the Word of God that we can abide in it, that we can study it and meditate on it and get enjoyment from it and the peace that comes with it. Father, as we go through hardships, we still can have that peace and joy. It's all about our choices, Lord. I pray for those that have made bad choices, those that have rejected you. I also pray, Father, for each one here tonight that as we go home and think about the abundant life that Jesus has given us. God, we are so blessed. We're rich. We're millionaires. We're just so very grateful for all that you've done for us. Father, be with us now as we leave. I pray for travel mercies on the way home. Pray, Lord, for just a good night's rest. Father, provisions for life and importance so that we can serve you. I pray these things in Jesus' name.